Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is writing from prison to the churches in Philippi, and this is God's word. "In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I've already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we've attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I've often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul begins by saying, I'm going to state some things that you already know, but it's not difficult for me to state them again, and it's a safeguard for you. One of the things we find in Scripture is repetition. Not only does this one say it, and then this one says it, but we find this one says it, and then says it again. Jesus did that. Jesus would repeat things that he had previously said. He told his disciples explicitly that he was going to be arrested and crucified, and that he would rise again from the dead. And he told them more than once, on at least three separate occasions that are recorded for us in the first three Gospels, on at least three separate occasions, Jesus repeatedly told them, this is what's going to happen. And yet, even though he told them, and he told them more than once, they didn't get it. They still were shocked when it happened, because what he was telling them didn't fit with what they wanted to feel and therefore wanted to think. All of us have a grid through which we process information. We only have a certain capacity for focus. And so if we're focused on this, we may miss this. And that's one of the reasons why repetition is important, why we need to go back and keep reading the Scriptures, even when we've already read it. If you've read the Bible all the way through, God bless you. That's a great thing. Now, don't stop. Well, I was wondering what to read next. How about the Bible? Okay? Read it again. You're going to see things the second time you didn't see the first time. You're going to see things the third time that you didn't see the first two times. You're going to see things the tenth time that you've never seen before. You keep reading and studying the Scriptures and asking God, show me what you want me to see. Well, Paul is writing and he says, it is a safeguard for you, for me to share these things. Rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard to you. If you were to jump ahead into chapter 4, do you know one of the things that Paul would say? Rejoice in the Lord. You know what he says immediately after that? I'll say it again. Rejoice. You and I need to be told to do something that doesn't come naturally. Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Well, why do we need to be told that? Because we need to do it. We need to do it. Well, I don't feel good. It doesn't say feel good. It says do what you are supposed to do, which is to find your joy in Him. Whatever else is going on, you can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That is a refrain in Scripture, just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Why does He say that? Because we have a tendency to do the wrong thing and worry. So don't worry, do rejoice. Don't do what feels natural, do what requires the supernatural power of God.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Watch out for the dogs. Watch, I mean, that would sound kind of odd when you first hear it. But listen to what he says. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. How do you hope to go to heaven? On what basis? You've sinned. You've broken God's law. You've failed to do what you should do, and you've done things you shouldn't do. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how can you possibly hope to go to heaven? Well, I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I don't do this anymore, and I don't do that, and I'm trying to do this, and well, then you're still going to hell. If your hope is in what you're doing, you are not going to heaven. But he says, we have our confidence in Christ Jesus. Our boast is in him. I'll tell you why I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a nice guy. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins and promised me that he would come back and take me home. That's why I'm going to heaven. It's because God decided to save a miserable wretch like me. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. You may say, well, you know, some people, I guess that's the way it is. You know, their only hope is Jesus. But I'm actually a pretty good person. Paul says, look, if anybody has reason to boast of their religious and racial credentials, I'm your man. Okay? Paul was the poster child for a religious Jew. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That means I was already given this sign of the covenant within the Jewish family before I could even do anything about it for myself. I got the right kind of start in life. I was blessed to be born into a religious home where I was circumcised on the eighth day. And then he says, I grew up to be a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was a rules keeper. He was a guy who knew what the rules were, and he followed the rules. He did it the right way. He made sure that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing and not doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing. And when it came to zeal, he was so concerned about making sure things were right that he persecuted the church because they weren't doing things right. He went around rounding up believers in Jesus and having them imprisoned, beaten, even killed. He says, that's how zealous I was. Paul describes himself. He says, although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Okay? He says, I'll do a contest with you. Anybody want to say I'm a good person? Paul says, I'm better than you are. I am so good that none of you can criticize me, and all my goodness just adds up to a pile of poop. That's what he says. Everything that was a gain to me, I've considered a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That is what it is about. That's the goal. Because of him, I've suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law. That's not my hope, is that eventually I'm going to get really good at following these rules. That's not it. Not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. You cross-reference this to Romans chapter 1, it's the same message. He's saying what has completely changed everything is that God has revealed a righteousness through Jesus Christ that doesn't come by keeping the law, it comes by faith in him. When Jesus died on the cross, it was in order that you might inherit everything that's his. And what God does is in Christ Jesus, he not only takes away our sin, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to us so that God doesn't look at us in terms of, you missed devotions one day last week. That's not the way he sees us. He sees us in terms of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why we look good in his eyes. All that belongs to Christ belongs to the believer. That's just fantastic. That's absolutely marvelous. That is beyond comprehension. And Paul says, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. Whoa. Wow. That changes things. Well, he says, okay, so here's my goal. My goal is to know him. Paul, you know Jesus. You met him on the road to Damascus. You've been walking in obedience to him for years. You spent 3 years in the Arabian desert getting to know him better. Surely if anybody knows Jesus, Paul knows Jesus. Paul says, no, I want to know him more. I want to know him more. Well, what does that look like? He says, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. What does it mean to know him? Well, it means to be conformed to his likeness, to be changed to be like him. My wife and I finish each other's sentences. I mean, even years ago, early in our marriage, our boss sat there, wonderful guy, Dr. Stan Gady, he sat there and he listened for a few moments and he said, I just have to say, I've never listened to people speaking in stereo before. He wasn't telling us to shut up. He was just saying it's remarkable because you say this and she finishes it and then she says this and you finish it and you know where you're going. Well, it's because two become one. That's the way a marriage is supposed to be. Not that you have to speak in stereo, but it becomes possible. In Jeremiah 22:16, God says, he took up the case of the poor and needy, then it went well. Is this not what it means to know me? Says the Lord. God says, to know me means to think like me and behave like me. In 1 John, we read that if we're really going to be in Christ, we've got to live as Jesus lived. We can't just say, you know, well, thank God Jesus died to pay for my sins because I really love sinning. And I'm just going to keep on doing that and look forward to going to heaven someday. You'd be absolutely miserable in heaven. If you love sin, you would not enjoy heaven. But just so you know, you're going to hate hell. Okay? You are headed for disaster if your desire is just to keep on sinning. But if your desire is to know him, if you want to know God more, if you want to be transformed from the inside out so that more and more and more you become like Jesus, I've got good news for you. It's happening. It's happening now. You wouldn't even have that desire if God hadn't planted it in your heart. The reason you want to become like him is because he is at work in you. And so, Paul says, verse 12, not that I've already reached the goal or already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. I'm not just reaching out. He has already reached me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. You watch athletes, whether they're running a marathon or whether they are swimming in a pool. When they are in a race, they're not looking back to see the competition, not if they're smart. There's one thing you want to see. That's the goal. You want to keep your eyes on the prize. And so Paul says, he's not saying, I can't remember my childhood. He's just told us about his background. But he says it's a stinking pile, okay? I'm not focused on that. I'm not running along thinking, boy, I remember the good old days before I knew Christ. He's saying, I remember what it was not to know Christ, and I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to be conformed to his likeness. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. He says, that's the way that you're supposed to be living too. Don't just say, wow, that Paul's a great guy. Okay? He says, this is the way all who are in Christ are supposed to live. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we've attained. Say, well, you know, you and I don't always agree on everything. Well, you do what you know God wants according to his word, and you'll do fine. Okay? You and I don't have to agree on everything. If one of us is off at some point, God will teach us. God will correct us. Say, God, show me. Please help me to understand what you want me to know here. You're not going to understand all of it the first week out or the first year out or 10 years out. You have lots to learn. But guess what? God will show you what he wants you to know as you learn. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we've attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. In other words, you can learn a lot from the example of people who have been walking with the Lord longer. For I've often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. There are a whole lot of people who are not living for the Lord, and many of them claim to be Christian. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Well, what does that mean? It means that their goal is self-gratification. The thing that they are living for is whatever feels good in the moment. And if that's your goal, you're not following Jesus. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. What are you focused on? But our citizenship is in heaven, and we wait eagerly for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. Did you know that Jesus is not sitting in heaven trying to build up some power? He's already conquered death. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he is also preparing us for that place. And God will not only do what needs to happen in us spiritually, but one day, these earthly bodies that presently are falling apart, say, I'm 9 years old, my body's not falling apart. Okay, just wait a while. These earthly bodies that fall apart on us are going to be transformed into a glorious body like his. I'm looking forward to that. God is going to accomplish it through his power, the power by which he's able to subject everything to himself. And so then at the beginning of chapter 4, he says, so then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. That's how we're to live. Focused on knowing him, and that means being conformed to his likeness, which includes suffering. The power of his resurrection is manifested in the lives of people who suffer. But we're looking forward to the resurrection. We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't obtained it. We haven't laid hold of it. But he has laid hold of us, and now we're reaching out toward the goal. Powerful image, and it's how we're to live. When I was a teenager, God impressed that passage on my heart. That became my life verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death. I am so grateful that God honors his word, and that as the years go by, we learn to know him more.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.